Hair, brother, and sister.
Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, Australia. December 19, 1896. Dear brother and sister Hare, I will write you a few lines. I cannot write much, but will send you enclosures. We feel sorry as we think of you so far away in that unpromising field. We would despair of your accomplishing anything did we not have the most reliable assurance, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. Christ knows. He came to a world that was all seared and marred with the curse, that he might reach to the very depths of human woe and misery and lift man up. Jesus Christ is the restorer. The apostate, Satan, is the destroyer. Here is the conflict between the Prince of Life and the Prince of this world, the power of darkness. How can we doubt this when our Lord and Savior left the courts of heaven, laid aside his royal robe and his royal crown, and clothed his divinity with humanity, that he might stand as the substitute and surety for men, bearing their guilt and their sin? He intended that a greater work should be done in behalf of man than we have yet seen. He did not intend that such large numbers should choose to stand under the banner of Satan and be enrolled as rebels against the government of God. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The world's Redeemer did not design that his purchased inheritance should live and die in their sins. What, then, is the matter? Why are so few reached and saved? It is because so many of those who profess to be Christians are working in the same lines as the great apostate. They let Satan devise and plan for them. He makes them apostates, disloyal to God, because rebels against his precepts and his laws. This brings severe, taxing labor upon the true Christian. He must convince the transgressor that he is a sinner, because sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3, verse 4. But very much more might be done for Christ if all who have had the light and the truth set before them, and who profess to believe the Word, would practice the Word and adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior. Whole families might be missionaries, engaging in personal labor, toiling for the Master with busy hands and active brains, devising methods for the success of his work. Then their voices and their persuasive words would set forth Jesus Christ, crucified among them. There are many earnest, prudent, warm-hearted men and women who could do much for Christ if they would first give themselves to God and draw nigh to him, seeking him with their whole hearts. He has promised that he will draw nigh to them, and God will not lie. Christ met with great discouragement in his mission. The greatest trial and heartache came to him through the very people that had been exalted to heaven by their privileges and by the great light which had been given them. This people, favored above every people on the face of the whole earth, walked away from the light into forbidden paths. They so far separated themselves from God that he could not use them as channels through which the two olive trees should empty the golden oil, which flows through the golden tubes into the golden bowl and keep the lamp burning to enlighten the world. As a people, we have to meet that which Christ met. The lukewarm, the covetous, the self-righteous, the impure were the chief stumbling blocks he had to encounter, and those who work with him will find the same discouraging hindrances in their experiences. Christ was oft rejected, oft derided, but he did not fail. He would not fail, nor be discouraged, for he knew that truth must triumph. Satan is not always to triumph. All who engage in this work as co-laborers with Christ must not only be willing to preach the truth, but to practice it. Of the professedly learned and pious people of his day, Christ said, "Ye are both ignorant of the Scriptures and of the power of God. Ye teach for doctrine the commandments of men." Matthew 22, verse 29, 15, 9. He longed to fill the whole nation with the spirit of his mission of love, that they might unite with him in the work of saving the world. The Holy Spirit would now come to our workers if they would earnestly seek for it. There will be no change made in the divine economy in order to bring around marked changes in the religious world. Men and women must arise to the emergency. They must receive the golden oil, the divine communication in rich blessings. This will enable them to arise and shine, because their light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them.
Those who claim to believe the Word of God and yet cherish their own hereditary and cultivated traits of character are the greatest stumbling blocks we shall meet as we present the grand holy truths for this time. Those who believe present truth are to practice the truth, live the truth. They are to study the Word and eat the Word, which means eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. They are to bring that Word, which is spirit and life, into their daily, practical life. It is the bread from heaven, and it will give life to the world. Power will be given to every man and woman who will eat of the bread that came down from heaven. Oh, cannot we take this in? Cannot we comprehend it? Why is our imagination so dull? "This is the will of him that sent me," said Christ, "that everyone," how comprehensive, how far-reaching, "that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6, verse 40. If this, the life of Christ, be in us, what may we not accomplish in his name? "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1, verse 12. Christian culture will follow the labors of every soul who will practice the truth conscientiously under all circumstances. But there is altogether too much skimming over the surface. There is a mine of precious ore, hitherto only in the possession of a very few. A careful and thorough digging will put us in possession of untold resources, represented as the golden oil, emptied from the two olive trees into the golden pipes, and from them into the golden bowls, to pour forth and enrich others. We are in great need of large-hearted, level-headed men who are true Christians and who will show that they are feeding upon the Word of God at home and abroad. Those of our faith and not of our faith will take knowledge of these men that they have been with Jesus and learned of him. They will see that they are yoked up with Christ and are drawing with him, that they are apt scholars, learning of him his meekness and lowliness of heart. These will not complain of the yoke of Christ or murmur when lifting his burdens. They will march cheerfully forward, singing, yes, making melody to God in their hearts. The yoke of Christ is easy, and his burden is light. Oh, it makes every difference with those who study the Scriptures as to what and how they shall understand the Word, whether they eat it or not. The Word of God, if eaten, will give spiritual sinew and muscle. Those who eat and digest this Word will practice it. Their eyes, anointed with the heavenly eye salve, will see other lessons in the Holy Word than those seen by readers whose hearts are not cleansed, refined, and elevated. Under the working of the Holy Spirit, the conscience will recognize a pure, high standard of righteousness that puts to shame the low, cheap ideas of the surface reader whose mind is corrupted with sin. They see that the doers of the Word alone are justified before God. Those who hear and fail to do are in no wise better, morally or spiritually, for hearing. Those who will deny self and make any and every sacrifice for Christ's sake will be able to teach because their precept and example harmonize. My brother, I know of no rule in my life as to where it is my duty to labor. I work where the necessity is the greatest, where labor is most needed. Our work is to consecrate ourselves wholly to the work. A divided heart cannot do much. The Lord demands all that there is of us. Let us consecrate ourselves wholly to the work. God is your strength, and He will be at your right hand, helping you to carry out His merciful designs. Do good as you have opportunity. Do all that you can by personal labor to reach the people where they are. Become acquainted with them. Preaching alone will not do the work that must be done. Angels of God attend you to the dwellings of those you visit. This class of work cannot be done by proxy. Money loaned or given cannot accomplish it. Sermons given from the pulpit cannot do it. By visiting the people, praying, and sympathizing with them, you will win hearts and open doors of access to perishing souls. This is the highest missionary work that you can do. You will need resolute, persevering faith and love for souls. You will need to practice self-denial and to exercise patience. But all the while, you will be gaining an experience which will be of the highest value. You are in a field where a dozen faithful missionaries would find a large amount of work to do. Hold meetings in different localities. Preach the word so that it will be easy to comprehend. Bring the people right to Jesus Christ, in whom their hopes of eternal life are centered. You can see much that needs to be done. Act your part, and Jesus will do the rest. Emigrants are flocking in from all parts of the country, ambitious for change, hoping to get work and money easily. People of intelligence, who have had some experience in religion, will come also. As you bring to them the Word of God, presenting it in a simple style, the seed will grow, and after a time, you will have a harvest. The seed sowing is your work. The propagation of the seed is the Lord's divine work. Oh, what a work there is to do in the place to which you have been sent. Do not fear to proclaim the message of warning clearly and distinctly. Give the trumpet a certain sound. Workers as well as ministers are needed. May the Lord impress men and women with the breadth and urgency of the work, with the crying, suffering wants of the people who are flocking to an uncertain something, many only to be disappointed. Western Australia must be worked. Any minister or worker who enters this field should not be encouraged to stay if he has not high moral principles and a firm faith and reliance upon God. Anything but the Word of God controlling the heart is as feeble to stand against hereditary and cultivated traits of character as a spiderweb against a storm. The Word of God alone, brought into the daily life, is life eternal through Jesus Christ. It will bring to all who believe the Word a firm reliance upon Jesus Christ, the living center. Men who have been bold in sin and iniquity will be convicted by those who hold forth the Word of life, and who at the same time eat that word and show by their daily lives that they believe it. It is a mystery that there are not hundreds at work for God where there is now only one. The whole heavenly universe is astonished at the apathy and coldness and the want of zeal shown by those who claim to be sons and daughters of God. There is a living power in truth, and the Holy Spirit is the agent that opens human minds to the truth. But the ministers and workers who proclaim the truth must show certainty and decision. They are to go forth in faith and present the word as though they believed it. Try to make those for whom you labor understand that it is God's truth. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This will confront Stan's lies. The gospel is to be planted in every place where it is not.
with our eyes fixed upon the cross of Calvary, beholding our uplifted Savior, relying on His grace, believing that He will fulfill His promise and be with us to the end of the world as our shield, our strength, and our efficiency, we are to work for God. What is the ground of our distrust and unbelief? We expect too little from the source of all light and power. What is our excuse for expecting little or nothing? Has God lost His love toward men? Is it not still directed earthward? Has He lost His desire to show Himself strong to His people in behalf of righteousness and truth? When the Lord gave Jesus to our world to save His inheritance from ruin, He gave all the resources of heaven to all those who would receive the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. The reality of the humanity of Christ brings with it lessons of precious consolation. Our Redeemer sought the Lord as a daily petitioner, seeking, as the substitute and surety for the human race, fresh supplies of needed blessings and daily strength at the hand of His Father. He came forth invigorated from this communion with God to strengthen and invigorate others. Behold the Son of God bowed in prayer before His Father, in all points tempted even as humanity. He is our elder brother. He knows that we are in a world of sin and compassed with infirmities. He will help us. Be assured that you are not striving alone. Divine support will surely be given to you. Christ's life was a life of consecrated work. Oh, matchless, self-sacrificing, devoted love! This morning, while others are sleeping, my heart is drawn out to write to you. Be of good courage in the Lord. Have faith in God, and you will have power with God and will prevail. Genesis 32, verse 28. Receive my affection and love.